Jope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
What's the funniest thing you've seen today?
The funniest thing I've seen today? Ooh, I don't know. I bet Uzbekistan on the money line for plus 1600.
That's a start right there.
That's
looking at that now.
5-0 they've lost. So there goes my parlay. That was pretty funny. Mike Babcock's comments this afternoon aren't funny, but they're definitely getting attention. My wife told me to quit Columbus. I wasn't going to quit. I didn't really do anything wrong. I'm okay. Way to be humble and, try to just, get everyone past the questions about your being granted re-entry into the league. Not funny though. More kind of sad, I think.
Pathetic.
But yeah, okay. Better. Way better. Yes. We're a good team. What about you? What's the funniest thing you've seen today?
There was a sign at the stadium, like specially made for today, ribbon cutting.
I saw that. Yeah.
And then there was a picture on the big scoreboard inside, ribbon cutting, in cursive.
Okay.
Taking up the entire length or width of the scoreboard. Ribbon cutting.
I cannot any longer.
Where's the hyphen?
Say with a clear conscience that I haven't been invited. That was mostly pertaining to like tours that the people from work were invited to that I don't feel like we were ever included in those emails.
Right.
But this, I did get an invitation to go to this thing.
You did?
I couldn't go. I had work being done at the house that I couldn't reschedule, and so I was trapped. I can no longer say that.
I can.
Oh, okay. You didn't get that email.
Nope.
Wow.
Not that I know of. They might not have wanted somebody there to be like, ribbon cutting. I guess it's election day.
That too. Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Ribbon cutting. I just want to keep saying it.
It looks.
Was it frictionless? You had a lot of people with giant scissors lined up.
Yeah.
Did not seem frictionless, exactly. You can't have frictionless ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
I don't believe you can have that.
No, by the very nature of the description, you are you're cutting. Yeah, there's going to be friction. The scissors are going to cause friction with the ribbon.
Next in sports, exactly. Next in sports are the Sabres cutting ties with one of their goalies. Now, there's two possibilities here, and I'm gullible, so you'll know which one I'm going to pick. There are reports that they're interested in Connor Hellebuyck.
Mm-hmm.
And Sergei Bobrovsky. Either they really are interested in one of those guys, or both. Maybe they would never have both, but
right. They one or the
are
other.
Trying.
Right.
They are vying for their services, or they're just talking.
Yeah.
You know, they're
just having all the conversations one can have.
They're the Nyborgs. They just like talking to salespeople. So is it okay? Am I right to assume at this point that they are in the goalie market?
I have thought it was always possible that they would be in the goalie market. It is not my favorite idea, but I'm not gonna kick and scream and say definitely don't do it. I feel like they may be, I'm not sure if it works this way or not, but in my head this makes sense. We want to keep Alex Tuch. We can't. Okay, we got to come up with a plan to replace him. We wanted to keep Bowen Byram. Well, he doesn't want to do that. Okay, so we may have to move him. Okay, what can we make happen here? And if a trade to replace Alex Tuch, for example, doesn't present itself, they just don't win the bidding for Dylan Larkin or Robert Thomas if he's available, or Jordan Kyrou or any one of many other guys that are not free agents but are trade candidates, and they miss out on those, I think to try to improve your team, you might go, okay, well, you know what? We could do that instead. and maybe they can pull that fish into the boat. And, you know, Bobrovsky is merely convincing him to come here and paying him however many millions for, I would assume, he's looking for 6 years at the age he is, which is pretty scary. Hellebuck's younger, but I'm trading multiple assets probably to make that, definitely to make that happen. I don't know how good the assets have to be, but it's going to be a haul probably to pry him free.
So, Bobrovsky is coming up on 38.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and what I'm reading is that part of the reason he's not going back to Florida is that maybe they wanted to sort of, okay, well, you're 38. How about a 2-year, $20 million contract or something along that? And he wants more security than that.
It's hard for me to think that the Sabres would look at this through the prism of Tuck. Unless it was really about the point you make about Tuck a lot, which is the optics of his leaving and the Sabres being seen as still being the Sabres, if you will, that some way or another, they want to get to a $10 million guy, even if it's a goaltender. I think it's probably more that they think goaltending is what got him beat. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. Not that all the numbers reflect that, but if you think about some of those playoff games, game five with Luukkonen, Lyon plays the end, gives one up maybe. Doesn't, I mean, it's not about that, but it was Lukanen's loss. And then game six, Lyon goes out. Kind of a, maybe the most amazing thing about their run is that they, their last playoff win, when they were up against elimination, they ripped off seven straight goals in Montreal to blow them out.
Right.
But that happened after Lyon gave up 3-on-4.
Right.
And then game seven ends the way it ends. And, you know, what of it?
I don't know. The problem I have with that is that, to me, Connor Hellebuck or Sergei Bobrovsky or Dominic Hasek, we watched Hasek give up that exact goal twice in his career for the Sabres. Kasparaitis and Alfredson, I don't know if those were knuckle pucks or not, but to me...
Miller is Alfredson.
Miller, sorry, you're right.
You're thinking of Washington, maybe.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Bonjour.
So, I don't know. Like, a knuckleball gets by my goalie, and my reaction is I got to go spend $8.5 million on a 34-year-old man? Like, I would be surprised if the Sabres think that it got them beat, but that shouldn't, and I don't think would, prohibit them from trying to get better at the position. I think saying it got them beat is a overreaction to that shot, maybe more than anything else. I know it wasn't what it was in the regular season, and so there is an argument to be made that it did, that is what beat them. I just don't know if anybody's making that save.
Fair enough. But really, there's no, I'll just say it and you can tell me if I'm wrong. There's no other element of the team that really came out as a weakness that you would point to first. I mean, it wasn't that they poured in goals in every game, but they scored. I mean, the power play even at times showed life.
Power play came around, but... I don't know. I feel like we're having the Josh Allen, Sean McDermott's defense conversation, because weren't there a half a dozen or more times you thought they were going to score to win that game? The chances they had, Thompson in overtime with the 2-on-1, and like that failed me. I'm not replacing Tage Thompson. I'm not approaching him as a weakness, but he didn't score there. Tuck didn't produce a single point the whole series.
Well, how about this?
So
would it surprise you if you learned that the Sabres all sat down at the end of it and have had these conversations since then and have said, basically, look, we are not replacing Tage Thompson. We're going to lose Alex Tuck, but we can maybe find somebody in the course of a trade or in free agency that will kind of look the part, and we've got a stable of young guys that are really promising. And defensively, we're close to great.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I want or think I need to do? And then again, you go to goalies, and I think Tuck is at best the second most interesting conversation about them this offseason, because it's always been more interesting to me how they are going to basically call it in net. Did it work what they were? It certainly paid off big time until the playoffs, if not through the playoffs. I also don't think this is a great idea. Like, I'm not lobbying for Hellebuyck. Mm-hmm. I would be super excited about it
sure.
if they did it
yeah.
and could not mm-hmm. be able to sort of control myself waiting for the season if you told me he's on the team. But I don't. It wouldn't be my move.
Yeah, I would rather. That's my. What I hope they're thinking is that that's a space on the board, if you will. That's an alternative. It's an opportunity to try to improve your team. Like realistically, like internally, you can believe that a goalie like Connor Hellebuyck would make you better. I don't know how much. Like in theory, that should make you better. And so. That's on the board, but to me, sinking assets into Connor Hellebuyck and hoping that the age cliff doesn't come for him, like he's still been pretty much what he's been. Even last year with the terrible year that they had in Winnipeg, his the
goals above expected.
Yeah, all the stuff was still very, very strong. So it's not as though his performance has really fallen off. The whole team kind of fell apart around him, which is part of the reason that he may be available now. So you could sell me on, we're going to try this to get better, but I would prefer that they attack replacing Tuck legitimately with like a 25 to 27 year old version of Alex Tuck, or two people that can do the jobs combined. Maybe somebody scores, maybe somebody penalty kills. I don't know. But then I'm getting pretty crowded. I don't have exactly a ton of room here, cap-wise or really on my lines, if I want to make room for some of the kids to play. But all the same, if Byram is a part of that, then I have to replace Byram. And I think if I make a move for a forward and a defenseman, and it includes Byram going out and like two guys coming in, then I think I'm out of the goalie sweepstakes. I don't think I have the money probably
money.
To do that. But if I can't do something that I think or that they think, if they can't do something they think helps them improve and replaces Tuck and or Byram, then I think that's where you get to column three, which is, well, the goalie market's out there. We could do that. And say, at a news conference, we think this will help us. And I think a lot of people would get, I think that's a news conference you can probably win pretty easily.
Oh my gosh.
It's U.S. Olympic champion goalie Connor Hellebuyck.
He's the best goalie of the decade.
I think that's right.
At least.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, how tough is it really? You're talking about what you think is best. That's great. And we want to have that conversation too. With due respect, as anybody that thinks maybe this isn't the best idea, how hard is it to imagine them thinking it's a great idea? How hard is it really to think that Lindy Ruff or Jarmo Kekalainen are not just like, we ran out of good fortune in net. We got this far. Who are these guys really? Lukanen, Lyon, what did we really expect? Due respect to them. It's not hard for me to imagine, and the fact that they're in these rumors, I think says it all. Unless, again, you want to just sort of chalk it up to, well, it's due diligence. I don't know. Why bother?
Well, I think I just explained that, maybe even twice. I think if they can't, my guess is they would prefer to improve the team in the areas I'm talking about. Prioritize that. But if you can't, I don't think you're in a position where you can just go, well, nobody wanted to come here and we couldn't do anything, so we're going to run it back. And Hellenius, who we're all excited about, and Osland and Yuri Kulik, and like that's my team with everybody else who's still here. Maybe we re-signed Beck Ballenstein. But look what we did. We did this thing. You know this guy. He shows up with his gold medal. Like I think you can... I can see them getting to that without it being their first choice, because I think you got to do something. I think it would be the most Sabres-y thing that could ever happen would be to say, well, we had a gun to our head with Bo and Byram. We knew he wasn't going to re-sign, So we traded him for futures, sort of like Ottawa just did. Tuck left, but look at the kids. And no goalie change, and basically nothing. Like, that's what I think Sabres fans have nightmares about, is that this team got good, and there's still situations where guys, for respectable reasons, Tuck has an opportunity to hit the open market for the first time in his life. Byram wants to try to ascend, you know, the hierarchy of NHL defensemen. He can't do that here. So I'm going to do the best I can with this situation, but I'm a 109-point team defending Atlantic Division champion. You got to do something that signifies we're covering the holes that have been created and improving. And Hellebuyck, you know, or Bobrovsky, a goalie, really, those are the two names. I was dreaming about Shesterkin a month ago, but no one has ever, there's been nothing on him.
His contract is too big and
his
long.
His contract is massive, yes. Like 10 and a half until after 33 or something.
I guess, I want to say, of course, I understand the point about the Sabres and their history and reputation working against them in this way. It would be a Sabres-y result, as you put it. Most Sabres thing ever would be to get here and then just let guys leave and not address it. It is a different situation than most of these other years because of the young forwards. And, you know, even your young defensemen are not young, but they're, you know, in their primes, kind of. You've got a really good setup, and I'm not sure I would want to hold it against them. And I would assume, you know, not that you're necessarily talking about an all-star, but if they lost Tuck, which I expect them to, and they trade Byram, I want to give them enough benefit of the doubt here that they would bring in at least the defenseman piece. They're not as deep as you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
The young guys are the forwards. So.
Yeah, I don't think they have a ready-made replacement for Byram in the system right now yet. They don't.
Fair.
Merkel might be a year or two away from even contending for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd want to assume there'd be something like that. But I don't want to go to 2007 necessarily if those guys leave. And I don't – do I need Connor Hellebuyck, of all people, or even Bobrovsky, to come in and sort of smooth that over? I don't think it would be that. It doesn't line up that way for me. It's more for me the guess here is that they think that's their weakness, and I think a lot of people would say the same, given how the playoffs went.
I don't know that you could be right about that. That's how they view it. I'm trying to have faith in them that because I happen to think that that's not the right way to view it. That should be the priority, but whatever. I don't know what they're thinking, but I would be surprised if what I've sort of said a couple times isn't like that they feel like they need to do something that gets attention. Like, look, the Sabres are a contender now, and look what they just did. I feel like Yarmo was big game hunting at the trade deadline. I'd be just very surprised if he's not trying to find that thing. And I feel like the goalie stuff could just be a last resort. That's what I want it to be. And I could be right about that too, just like you could be right about their prioritizing it. We're never going to know, because whatever they do, right, they don't make a goalie move, they're going to love the trade they made for whoever it is, whatever Dylan Larkin, whatever forward they pull into the boat, there's going to be a new, and we're going to be excited about that too.
And they have full confidence in Luukkonen.
Right. Right. The goaltending was good enough last year to get it performed above expectation all year. We're going to, you know, roll that back. Okay. If they can't do the other stuff, and then, you know, we realize the goalies did a good job last year and played above their heads, but in the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. You know, like you can, almost anything will work if it's the right caliber of player, and Hellebuyck is, and certain of these star forwards that are in the rumor mill also qualify.
Not that I don't think I would know this, but I'd have a guess like anybody else. If they were to trade, say, Luukkonen, Byram, a number one pick, and if you need more, somebody more obscure for Hellebuck. What happens to their cup odds? They're 28-1, like 14th in the league, mm-hmm. not really well respected, weird almost, well behind the Senators.
Right.
What happens to their cup odds?
Yeah, Ottawa was like almost 50% better on Friday when I talked to Sam.
16-1 to 30. Now they're 22-1.
Yeah, okay.
And the Sabres were at 28. I mean, that's just one site.
Yep.
What happens to that if you trade, basically you're trading Byram and Lukanen, which is, you don't even need Lukanen. So you're trading Byram for Hellebuck. Mm-hmm. What happens to that number? I think it shrinks.
Yeah, maybe by half even.
Maybe by half, right. I think they go from, at least at one site, the fifth favorite in the Atlantic to second or third. Florida did a thing too.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost taking this year's Sabres team into next year with that goalie. I am almost.
Oh, that's tough. That is very tough to say with Tuck and Byram not a part of it.
Well, that's right.
Considering how they looked against Boston, especially in that first round series.
But Tuck is going, probably, right. And we have known that. We don't know for sure, but that's, if anybody's putting those odds up and they get really into it, which you probably should if you're doing that professionally, you would probably be baking that in. Not Byram at the time.
Right.
But Tuck, I think, yes. And so, you know, if I'm right about that, you agree, like the odds would change dramatically.
I think so. Yeah.
If we're right about that, why shouldn't they do it?
Does that make it worth doing?
Yeah. I mean, just what are we here for?
The thing that I have been thinking most about when I think about the Hellebuck idea is whether or not I can pull that off without trading Byram. And whether or not, considering I'm losing Tuck and my big move is going to be a goalie, and I can count on the kids to an extent, if I hang on, basically do with Byram what I did with Tuck last year, which was, you know, we never got there on an extension. In this case, I think we already know Byram doesn't want to sign one. Seemed like Tuck wanted to, but they never got together on a number, and so here we are. He's days away from leaving for nothing. I would listen to, considering how impactful those four top D were all year long, hanging on to Byram as my own rental, just like I did with Tuck. I still have young guys here, and I can address his leaving next year if I need to. And not worry about it. Because I don't get the impression that Byram is like, get me out of here. It's mostly he wants the opportunity to be able to pick his spot and get paid like a number one, which might even be harder to do if he's traded. But if he has UFA at the end of next year, I would trust his motivation would be very high to go out and play like that guy so that he can cash in for $13 million next summer. So I don't know if it's realistic at all to consider pulling Hellebuck into the boat without divesting myself of Byram, but making a move for the goalie makes me want to hang on to Byram and just keep that decor intact.
If there's a way to do it.
Yeah, if there is a way.
What do you think is going on here? What should happen? What do you want? 803-0550. For us, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio at 4, ribbon cutting. That's it. That's the tease.
I didn't feel like I needed
that's
to
the tease.
Add anything in there.
Ribbon cutting.
I thought you had it.
Do you have to have the ribbon? Can't you just show places? Show people around, and like it's not really fans couldn't go. I mean, they've done this kind of media thing a number of times. Today there was a ribbon. It's the closest to being completed. You always have to have a ribbon, I guess, for these things.
I like a ribbon. I like the ribbon.
Ribbon cutting. Sal at 4. We'll get back to the Saber stuff after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
When you look at the Winnipeg Jets, they need a number 2 center. They need a number 4 center. They need bigger and more aggressive defense. If you're willing to consider Hellebuck, and they are, let's just be fair in this. Winnipeg is willing to consider moving Connor Hellebuck. If they are, then you've got to tick off at least a couple of the boxes that I just described, preferably a number 2 center. And maybe you get a defenseman on top of that, and you worry about the 4C down the path.
And a goalie or no? Would Winnipeg not need a goalie if they traded him? Would that be a position of need at that point?
I would think you'd need a goalie.
Yeah. I would think so.
I would think that would be a part of that, too. Yeah.
Darren
Dreger. Can I interest you in a gently used but often damaged Josh Norris?
Right.
I'm wincing already. I mean, I'm not looking to – well, I am eager to move him, but then I need to replace him. And I don't know, does Jiří Kulík replace – I'm back to, like, it's the Sabres. You know, like, oh, no, we got this 22-year-old. He's going to be awesome. And maybe he will. But, man, that's scary. But if you want to get me to really be friends with the Connor Hellebuyck trade, you get me out from under that Josh Norris contract. And you've got my attention.
I think it's fairly plausible from either direction. I mean, he's sellable, Norris, as a player that you should want in a trade like that. I mean, I think he is. It's a question of durability, but I think, speaking of like what's Sabres-y and what's not, getting him in a trade like that would be something you might think is Sabres-y. Not in terms of trading Cousins for him in the first place, but doing it this way now, if he were coming in from another team, you might be like, you might roll your eyes a little bit, but I don't know. At the same time, I'm sure he's got his fans. And so you got to give something up if you're going to do that. Wink, wink, you might like to give this player up, and it's possible that the team you're dealing with would be into it.
Yeah. I wonder really how that goes. Like you're Jarmo Kekalainen, and you're on the phone with, is it still Shoveldayoff, the GM of the Winnipeg Jets? You're on the phone with your counterpart, if that's him or not, in Winnipeg, and you lead with like Josh Norris. I feel like there's probably intentionally awkward silence. Then Jarmo goes, "Are you still there?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." Got anything else? Like, I don't know, man. I just, that feels like too much of a dump to me to get away with it. But I don't know, maybe they just, you don't have to then mix in. Like, if they do that, it's almost like, God, this is so lacking for any kind of positive commentary about Norris. It feels like I got to probably give up more other stuff to get them to take Norris as a part of that trade. A
lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money, injury questions. There is a talented player in there. There's no question about that.
Well, these are always fun conversations because knowing that it's not exactly the same, this is when I can use my fantasy stuff and try to, you know, relate to it. You want Hellebuyck, and I have him. You're going to have to tell me what you're going to give up, like what you're willing to give up. The onus is on you. If you want my goalie, right, the onus is on you to come strong. I mean, what do you have for me? And then either I'll love it, but I'll probably try to get something else. There's usually something else you can get. Or I'll, you know, we'll talk about it if it's interesting. Or it's just like it's such a bad offer that you don't even want to continue talking to the team anymore.
And that's,
they're not serious.
It's a little bit of my fear with including Norris in the conversation.
So what you want to do is finesse it. You want to bring up maybe someone else, hoping maybe you already know the other GM's opinion of your guys, which would make it easier. But you bring up someone else, and you're sort of hoping that they don't say yes, and they come, well, we need a little bit. Who would that be? Krebs? Somebody like that? You want them to raise you. That's what you're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can call. Now it's poker. That went from real sports to fantasy sports to cards.
Poker, right.
We want to be raised. We want you to check raise us. And then we can call and, you know, and win. So maybe you don't mention Norris. You wait for them to, but that's risky.
Yeah.
I mean, 32 teams though. He's not bad.
I know, it's just a lot of money, and like think about right now, after another 2 years have gone by in his career, which is basically what we've, well, he was late last season, it wasn't really two seasons, but whatever. I mean, he got here, got hurt immediately, started the season, got hurt immediately, came back, got hurt again.
Got hurt in the playoffs.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, at this point, if Josh Norris is still on Ottawa, and the track record has continued to be what it is, you come to me with Josh Norris is my big idea for you down the middle for you to answer your needs, I think I'm hanging up. I'm trying to win the Stanley Cup over here. Like, I'm right back to where Ottawa was when they moved him. I think they loved his potential and the player he was when he was on the ice for them. They just became, I think, tired of not being able to count on him, and so they traded him. And that's kind of where I've already am now, and I just, man, I just feel like there'd be a lot of buyer beware on him. So that's where you get to, okay, well, what else are you willing to give up kid-wise? Like, you want me to take that contract and that risk, recognizing there's a chance that could really pay off, maybe for the first time in his career or the first time in a long time he plays 75 or 80 games or whatever.
He's 84.
He's 84. He's healthy, and they win that bet. There's always that risk. But right now, I feel like including him is then gets you to, okay, but I'm going to need Osland too, or I'm going to need something else that's going to make it hurt for you, because Norris really isn't going to hurt. I'm almost doing you a favor if I'm taking him off your hands.
Well, Byram is in this trade. I know you'd like to not have
trade him
in probably the same move,
yeah,
but he's in the trade. There's where you start. And then Winnipeg would have to want to extend him, pay him the contract he desires.
And, like, I don't know, he doesn't have trade protection, so it's out of his hands. But how eager he is to sign there at the time of the trade, I mean, Josh Morrissey is Rasmus Dahlin. Like, they've already got a number one kingpin defenseman that's being paid like one. And so that might not be the easiest fit. If the trade and Byram being valued as you'd want him to be valued, if you're the team trading him away, that has to come with a contract extension. Because if I'm Winnipeg and he's the main piece of the trade, renting him for a year doesn't really get me anywhere in my rebuild.
Right.
So he has to want to go there, and I don't know. I mean, there aren't three guys blocking him. There's really only one, and maybe that makes all the difference in the world. I don't know. But again, you need him to be cooperative enough to want to sign where he's going to max out the value on him, and I don't know if Winnipeg fits. So that might be
funny,
a problem.
It's funny to talk about to whatever extent Winnipeg is a destination. When Kevin Adams made his fateful palm trees remark, Winnipeg might have had the most points in the NHL.
They did, yes.
And that was the easy, you know, pushback was, what does Winnipeg have for palm trees? But this year they were way down.
Right.
What about Columbus, Werenski, Norris Trophy? Because those names are being mentioned too.
Yeah,
it seems like it's all these guys, these stars on these woebegone teams. What a moment for the Sabres not to be among them. But Winnipeg, Ottawa, Columbus, we'll see how successful these players are. Brady Tkachuk won.
Yeah,
he got to Florida.
You're right. Werenski is being talked about. Like, I don't know if it's just dot connecting at this point or if there's really smoke there. But yeah, anyone in the league is going to be wondering. I'm sure teams are calling them about him because you'd want to know. Like, are you ready to do this? Are you going to make him available? Or are you going to wait a year? So I think he's got 2 years left currently. But if that's what Tkachuk was, and if they already know, if he's told them like Tkachuk did, like, I'm probably not going to do this again.
Well, that's another team that's kind of over a barrel.
Yep.
Because they sound like a team that has to rebuild again. And it seems probably to them and their fans like it's just a never-ending rebuild. So, I don't know, but there are some pretty good players in the rumor mill. Including, I mean, he won the Norris Trophy.
Yes.
This year.
Yes.
Jeff is with us. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Jeff.
I want the Winnipeg goalie and Matthew Nyes if we lose.
Okay. That would be great. Nyes to me is my favorite idea. I've never thought it made a whole lot of sense that Toronto would move him, but if they think they can get maybe three pieces, then as excellent as they should view him, I mean, he's young, he's fast, he's big, he scores, he kills penalties, he's under contract for like four or five more seasons at a pretty reasonable number. That's a guy at his age, 23, that if you're sort of trying to, I don't know, not exactly start over, sort of pivot. You've got Matthews. You're going to get McKenna, presumably. You just made this trade for Radish. It seems like Nyes is a guy you'd want to hold on to. But if you could get Byram and Krebs and a future piece, a college kid or something, you know, somebody, not one of the top guys here, one of the Sabres, the guys that played in the playoffs for the Sabres. I don't know, maybe that would be appealing to Toronto because they've got spot. They need bodies. That is my dream move of all moves, is Nyes. I love him as a player.
Ribbon cutting.
Mm-hmm. Let's cut some ribbons. Where do you get those big scissors?
Online.
Yeah. I think that's the only way.
Google, where do you get the big scissors? And there you go, Amazon.
There's a big scissors.
There you go, right. Hey, where'd you get that shirt? Internet. I don't remember the name of the company. I liked what was on it. I ordered it.
Of course, there are shirt stores.
Yes.
I don't know about big scissors. Or even those big ribbons.
Right.
How big? I mean, that's probably a special order, too.
Oh, car dealerships have those lying around all the time from holiday time. That's not hard to find.
It's not Party City, though,
is it? You can just get that. You just go, just call Northtown. They've got those ribbons all over the place. Have you seen the ads?
That's where you go for the big ribbons, then. Right. How could you have the big ribbons and not the big scissors? Maybe they have big scissors also. Or do they ever cut those ribbons? Yeah, they have to. They tie the car up.
I don't know.
And then they cut the ribbon when you buy it.
Does the door opening not just tear the ribbon?
Like there's no grace in that.
Yeah.
No, there's no thrill in that.
That's probably right.
You don't want it, and then it sort of shreds, and doesn't really break all the way. And then you need somebody starts to chew on it to try to get it to break. You don't want any of that. You just want to have one pair of big scissors. Just for those moments.
Business idea. Let's combine the big ribbons with the big scissors.
Yeah. Buy them right in a package. Package deal. The Bills should get it with the stadium. It should come with the stadium. It should come with every stadium. Big ribbons and big scissors. Because you're going to need them.
Yeah.
Why didn't you throw that in?
I wonder.
We'll take your second line center, your fourth line center, scissors.
I wonder what that meeting is like. There's got to be a meeting when somebody goes, has anybody got the ribbon and the scissors? Yeah, I'm on it. I just wonder how soon before.
Can't wait too long.
Hey, the thing's coming up Tuesday. Do we have the ribbon and the scissors? It's supposed to be here tomorrow.
You know who would have it in long supply would be the governor. The governor's office would have, because everywhere she's going, she's cutting ribbons.
Maybe they just travel with that.
Yeah, I think they have a whole, they might even make them.
Maybe she's even got just a ribbon and scissors person on staff.
Probably. There's probably a department in our state government. For this.
Ribbon and scissors. RNS.
Somebody,
it's in the
RNS.
Job, RNS. Ribbon and scissors.
Who's in charge of,
what's
who's
RNS
the
stand
deputy?
For? Ribbons and scissors.
They should have that because you need them. Stadiums need them. Government people need them. Big celebrations all the time. And just put the shovel in the ground. Well, that's a different. Then you want the subsidy.
That's a whole.
There's a side department.
That's a whole other thing. You need gold-handled shovels or gold-spaded shovels. I don't even know. That's a whole other thing.
That's right. The stuff you don't think about.
Right.
Sal Capaccio was out there today looking around the new place. Looked amazing. We'll talk to Sal about it, his maybe most impressive aspects of it. No supplemental draft. That's an interesting story. They're not going to let that quarterback kid into the league this year. So fantasy managers can relax.
Mm-hmm.
And also Geno Smith, perhaps, can relax. Ugh. That might have been a pretty good idea for the Jets. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.